Hey, good to be with everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here. I'm Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and Doug Thornton is with us from the American Vindicta Show. And we are the Intel Report, and we are going to follow up on some stories we did at an earlier show and expand our format. We're going to be looking at how you must bow down to your leaders in New York City or you'll be in trouble. And then we're going to take a look also, too, at want to revisit a little bit about Maui. What's going on in Texas? It's called directed energy weapons. And I think you all know who followed me when I was over on YouTube that I have a special place in my heart for what happened to those wonderful people in Lahaina. Just terrible debauchery. And we're going to open some of that up here. And I'm happy to revisit this because any attention I can give those murderous thugs who run Hawaii, it's a good day if we can do that. Then we're also going to look at new efforts on the part of the administration to practice gun confiscation. And of course, I'll have to mention the Hawaii, University of Hawaii Democide Report. So those are the topics that are up today. First of all, let me tell you this, but we have a sponsor that can save your nest egg. And by nest egg, I mean your retirement. If your retirement is connected to the bank, this ridiculous Dodd-Frank law of 2010 says they can take it. They can devalue it, they can bail you in, or they can just take it. And they can also take your bank account. Well, Noble Gold can help you get around all that, and they have just a great way of doing it. I am a customer of Noble Gold. I have been for 6 years, been an advertiser for 6.5 years, and they are the best organization I have ever dealt with, both as a customer and as an advertiser. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a nest egg to protect, you can't afford not to do this because the corporate deposits in the third quarter so far for the corporate banks are down by 50%. That's bad. That's really bad. They can't loan money. The interest rates are so high, they can't loan money. That means they got to steal your money if some of these banks are going to stay afloat. So let me send you, well, I'm not going to send you this. I want you to call Noble Gold, 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges told you to call. If you don't do this, you're really running the risk of having a 1929 moment where you could lose everything. And that's not hyperbole. This is exactly why I'm in with Noble Gold, 877-646-5347. Well, Doug, I'm really disturbed. First of all, my hat's off to the New York City firefighters. Not only do they have a long tradition of extreme bravery and protecting the public, going back to 9/11 and certainly beyond that, too. I have all the respect for these men and women, but they are showing their true colors as Americans. They are standing up for what's right. God bless these people. They don't just serve their community, they're serving their country, but they're taking some heat. So let's tell the public about that.
Well, you can find this on InfoWars, and I want to say first off that we do strongly support first responders, from police to
Gotcha.
firefighters to the EMTs. So thank you guys very much for your continuing efforts to provide a service to our community, to our great people in our great country. Our hats off to you, and our prayers are always with you. So, this is titled New York Firefighters Who Booed the Attorney General Letitia James of New York to Be Punished and Reeducated. Now, just the title right there smacks of communism, socialism. It really reverberates with what's happening with Jordan Peterson currently in Canada.
Exactly.
So let's go ahead and read this article. So, New York City firefighters are facing administrative punishment after booing Democratic Attorney General Letitia James during a promotion ceremony last week. Letitia James' speech on Thursday was drowned out after members of the New York Fire Department delivered boos and chants supporting former President Trump. Letitia James is quoted saying, "Come on, we're in a house of God, simmer down." So I think it's so funny that she tells people to quiet. And then, she goes after him.
House of
What a
God.
Democratic thing to do.
Yeah, I hear you.
So the fire department for New York City's commissioner, Laura Kavanaugh, responded to the incident by sending an email vowing to hunt down. That's the exact words, hunt down all those involved in the jeering, announcing that the Bureau of Investigation and Trials will investigate the matter. BITS, as it's referred to, is investigating this, so they will figure out who the members are, I recommend they come forward. I've been told by the commissioner that it will be better for them if they come forward and we don't have to hunt them down. This is insane. So let's read
Are
what
they
this
actually
has to
using
say.
that phrase, Doug, hunt them
That's the
down?
phrase. That's a quote. This is a direct quote.
That's
Yeah, they're going
threatening.
to hunt them
Doug,
down.
this is threatening. This isn't just we want to discipline you for unprofessional conduct. When you use terms like hunting down, that's threatening.
Oh, it gets even better. So let's read this. Here's another quote. It's from this email that came out. The DCs shall direct the captain of the company to make a list of those that come forward and send it directly to John and Kevin in operations. I realize members might not come forward, but they should know that there is a clear video of the entire incident and they will be contacted by BITS, the investigative unit, if they don't. Here's the internal communications from firefighters unions, including the Uniformed Fire Officers Association. The circulated memos condemning the stunt. This is all also posted in the New York Post. Here's what the memo reads. I'm here to address the behavior of firefighters that attended Thursday's promotion. The behavior we saw and heard was grossly inappropriate. Protesting, heckling, and booing anyone at a ceremony is simply unacceptable. This was a promotion ceremony to honor members who made sacrifices and worked harder to achieve this day. They had close family and friends there to celebrate with them. Absolutely no one should have been subjected to what happened based on the political beliefs of some members. It rules for thee and not for me.
Exactly.
Democrats? All right. So it says it was disrespectful to the speakers, to the promoted members, and their families. This was not a political event, and Letitia James was not there to give a political speech. She was there to support her friend and our new chaplain, Pamela Holmes. Pamela invited her friend to attend the ceremony. Members have a right to political beliefs, but you don't have a right to make a job-related ceremony political in nature. Well, what in the hell happened in 2020? What happened with all that? Everybody, and I mean from local law enforcement to federal law enforcement, state law enforcement, members of the military, members of a lot of different offices for, I don't know, fire, EMS, whatever, went out and they marched in solidarity with George Floyd. They had the right to do that in their uniforms, but they're saying now that you're booing them, you don't have a right to do it. So it goes on to say that when you're not on duty, feel however you want about politics. Vote, protest, that's your right. But don't do it on the job's time, on other members' time, or on their family's time. Do it on your own time. Our actions at the promotion damaged the relationship with the Attorney General and the Christian Cultural Center. We may lose that venue now. Politics aside, the Attorney General is a friend to the UFA and the UFOA and a supporter of our department. She has come to the hospital on more than one occasion to support us when one of our members is seriously injured or died. These actions reflected very poorly upon us and diminished the dignity of the occasion. Instead of news reports talking about the accomplishments of our members, it talked about the politics and our poor behavior. Everyone must be better. Do the right thing. Even if you aren't the one acting poorly, if you see a fellow firefighter acting in this manner, in all capital words, stop it. Act in a manner befitting of the uniform that you wear. Nothing less should be tolerated. The memo goes on to say that the guilty parties will be educated on their behavior. The next
Yeah.
steps.
Can I want to
DC.
interrupt? Let me interrupt you just for a second. I just want to point out one huge contradiction here. When Letitia James ran for office and after she was elected and sworn in, she repeatedly said, "My main mission is to get Donald Trump." Tell me how that's any different.
Once again, it's rules for thee, but not for me. You
Exactly.
know, with the old governor, or excuse me, the mayor of New York City, whatever the heck that idiot's name was, you know how many times the police would turn their backs on that guy?
I know.
This is a common behavior that we see from the people that are first responders in New York. because you have people that are true patriots who I think question how in the hell do we get these people as leaders, and they're showing it. There is a clear division, even in Democratic cities right now, with people who are working, that what's going on is wrong. The people in charge are not the people that need to be in charge. They're dangerous, and they're letting their voices be heard. So, hey, bravo to them. Here's the next steps on this email. It says, have DC visit each firehouse that had a member promoted. Relay bullet point message. They should understand that the BITS, that's the investigative unit, is gathering video and identifying members that brought discredit and brought their discredit to the department. We want the members to come forward. They will come to headquarters to be educated why their behavior is unacceptable. It was so one FDNY, a retired firefighter from New York, blasted the department's heavy-handed response by saying it was a political stunt for the city to have the AG there. When it backfired, they sent their fascist pit bulls after guys for exercising their First Amendment rights. Most were off duty and not in uniform. Constitutional scholar Alan Dershowitz likewise criticized the fire department for New York City for vowing to hunt down firefighters who were exercising their First Amendment right. Alan Dershowitz says firefighters have an absolute constitutional right to boo the attorney general, and the government has no power to punish them for it. So efforts to get the names of the booers is an effort by the government to chill free speech, and it's unconstitutional. Letitia James has become a political lightning rod over her witch hunt against Donald Trump, where he was ordered to pay $454 million in her civil fraud case against him within 1 month. So let's back up to this. What happens then whenever these people get Biden back in charge? This whole boast of re-educating people for, not thinking the same way as you do. Dave, is that the future of America?
Yes. It's just part and parcel of the censorship, Doug. It's just an extension of censorship, and they're going to come down really hard on people that they feel they can control through employment. So to me, this is not surprising at all. And it's going to get worse. It'll spread to family members. Hey, your wife said something on social media. That's coming next. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're seeing your future right here. We are being ruled by absolute communist pigs who do not respect the Constitution, do not respect your personal opinion. They don't think you have any rights. And let me point out something else about New York City. And this is not their government. This is Jamie Dimon and JP Morgan. This kind of like envelops everything we're talking about. He has said on more than one occasion, in the name of climate change, people need to be willing to give up their personal property. Well, give up your personal freedom of speech, give up your personal property. What they're saying is you are a flipping slave. That's what they're telling us.
Yeah, and also here on InfoWars, Alex Jones and Roger Stone said that during their emergency broadcast on Saturday, that was yesterday, March 9th, that Democrats are preparing a national martial law with the deployment of troops in New York. What do you make of that?
Roger said that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's something coming.
Do you think it's an incident yet to be realized, or is it just going to be a unilateral action? What do you think?
It may be a show of force. It may be a show of force. The thing is we're in an election cycle year right now. We know for a fact there's two people running. You got Joe Biden and you got Donald Trump. Everyone else has dropped out, and there's been no real credible opponent for Biden. So, and the way things are looking, Trump's going to get the nomination. Even from a lot of Democrats who did not like Trump post 2020. Now they're starting to like Trump. Now they're starting to realize, hey, the people that we elected just because we don't like Donald Trump are not what we need. And those people are vehemently talking out against these people. They're all saying how they're, many of them, not honestly all, many of them are saying how they're going to vote for Donald Trump. And so, the Democrats, the leftist communists, they are losing their touch with their base. And This it just reminds me of many tyrannical governments when they face an upheaval. When they face an upheaval, what is it that they commonly do? They deploy troops. They crack down on citizens' free speech. They crack down on citizens' free movement as well. And a lot of times, war also cranks off. We've been saying on the Doug and Dave Intel Report for a few years now, 2024, if there was going to be a year where we're going to have any type of new massive domestic disturbance, any type of new massive terror attack that's going to happen here in CONUS, that this is going to be the year for that. Not only that, but if there was a chance for that spark, that unique spark of a civil conflict, this is the year. Or World War III, this is the year. And I think they're getting ready for it. I mean, look, I get it. Some people don't think that there's going to be an election. I mean, if these people had their ability to, they would not have an election.
I think
They
they're
do
still going to
everything in
try.
their power.
Doug, I agree with you. I think they're going to try. There's a related factor I want to throw in here, too. There's actually two, but one I want to start with. I read the other day, and I reported on this on my channel. I said that Facebook has announced a new censorship division. They didn't say that. They said prevention of disinformation. But they have a new censorship division in Facebook about the election, so they're gearing up for censorship. And then one other thing too, and I want to get your opinion on both of these things. Tulsi, I wrote about this and broadcasted about this 2 weeks ago. I said Tulsi Gabbard is being positioned to be the vice president for Trump, and I'm not in favor of it. She's a former Young Global Leaders Program from the WEF, and she's been a liberal Democrat. She's for abortion, all the things that I can't embrace as a conservative. But and people said, oh, Dave, I think you're wrong. Trump's not going to do that. Well, she's issuing statements for Mar-a-Lago now. That happened yesterday. She's looking like she's the front runner. Do you have any opinion on this?
I will say this. People have the right to change their mind, to own up to mistakes, and to do the right thing. If the Lord puts it on her heart, to change her mind and to speak openly against these people, then maybe that is what's happening. But at the same time, I don't trust Tulsi.
I don't either.
I don't like some of the things Tulsi said in the past. She was for red flag laws, so I really don't like that.
Yep.
I think there's better candidates out there. Even and the thing is, Trump doesn't need a political rampager. He needs a pit bull. That's what he needs for a vice president. He needs someone that whenever if he is elsewhere, he needs someone who will hold the line. Someone who will do what he is asking to be done as the president and do the will of the people. We need someone who is as closely and relatively within the same mindset as Donald Trump as possible in order for this office to work. We don't need opposing people like we had last time with Trump and Pence.
Yeah,
So,
do you know who you're describing, Doug? You're describing Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I'm not a fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I know that, but the way you expressed it, a bulldog like Trump, similar views, maybe that's as far as that comparison goes, but nonetheless, that's who you made me think of when you expressed what Trump needs. I have a slightly different take. I agree, I want the aggressiveness, but I think he needs someone that can pull in shall we say more liberalized views, not totally liberal, but bring in kind of the midsection of the Democratic Party and someone who would appeal to them on that basis. And I don't mean, make concessions for abortion and all these other nonsense things, but I do think that Trump does need a counterbalance as well too. I don't think that you can have two pit bulls together. I think a pit bull for tenacity for your beliefs, but someone who might have a draw for more liberal people.
Yeah, I would not, politically speaking, I would not be opposed to that. I mean, this is politics that we're talking about. We're not going to get the perfect people. We're not
That's
always going
true.
to get godly people. Who we get is who we get. But I think there's better candidates out there. I think Trump needs to Obviously, he hasn't laid out what his plan is of a re-election would be for him. But when he starts to lay it out, we need to have someone that has the same general consensus and is not, you know, opposing that. I know a lot of times people said that, the other Kennedy, maybe he would be a good match to that. But
I do not agree. I do not agree.
He said some things that I don't like either.
Exactly.
About gun
He's
control.
Exposed himself for being a rhino. That's how I see him. I'm sorry.
Well, who would your other bet be then? Because Tucker's probably not going to do it.
I don't know that Tucker is a good choice. White House press secretary for Tucker. I would not be opposed to Tucker being in the cabinet at all. The position fits his skills, but I don't think he's vice presidential material for what Trump needs. That's a good call. Who would be a good choice? That's a really, really good question.
I think if DeSantis could pull his foot out of his mouth,
yeah, I agree. Yeah.
That he wouldn't be a bad choice. Once again, we can find faults with every single one of these people, but eventually, you know, whoever's on the docket, that's who we get to vote for. So, you know, I mean, I think that whoever's there needs to be fair, balanced, hopefully is a Christian, because that's the fundamental idea of America, is the Christian idea. So we need somebody also that if something happened to Trump, the guy or gal is also not an immediate sellout and does whatever the deep state does too.
Yeah,
you know,
LBJ,
which
John
was
Kennedy.
Pump.
Yeah, totally right.
Pence, I mean.
Totally right. That's really well said. DeSantis matches Trump ideologically the best, but something happened to him in that primary. He lost his steam like I never thought I would see.
So I know someone who actually knows Pence, or excuse me, God, I keep saying Pence, DeSantis. And from what they tell me is that DeSantis is actually a very good guy, very humble. He gets very nervous when he's out speaking in front of a bunch of people, but one-on-one, he's a very intelligent person, but he keeps to himself a lot. He's kind of an introvert, but in terms of what he's done to Florida, I mean, with his policies, I would like to see that also reflected here in America. Once again, we're not always going to agree on every policy, and maybe there's a policy that he put forward there that some of you Floridians know that I don't, that you don't like. Please put it in the comment section so that we'll know it. But I mean, who else is it? We can't have Donald Trump as Caesar, so we got to have a secondary. But maybe we won't know until, you know, a little bit further down the line, and maybe there's a reason for that too. Because whoever he puts forth as his VP, the mainstream media, along with the White House, are going to attack that person,
sure,
their beliefs, their past, and they're going to do everything to smear that person. So, you know, whoever it is that he picks, he should probably hide until just about the very last moment. That way, you know, you can dampen as much of that targeting on that person as possible. But I don't know, man. I don't know.
You know, I'm
politics
telling
is ugly now.
I think we're looking at Tulsi. My gut tells me, I didn't think this would resurface, Doug. I thought we were done with this, with Tulsi. But it's resurfaced in a big way. And I think Trump is thinking he can pull people from the Democrats. Part of what I said I think Trump needs, but he doesn't need Tulsi Gabbard. That's the problem I have. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't dislike Tulsi Gabbard. She's entitled to her views. She served our military bravely. Okay, she didn't have a scandal when she was in office. She's not a criminal. There's a lot about her that says she's a pretty solid person. It's just we come from different sides of the fence about what I think this country needs. And I think Trump's making a mistake if he does take her on.
I want to revisit something from last year. All right, because we just briefly mentioned the possibility of a nationwide martial law, which is a word that a lot of people overuse. It wouldn't be a martial law. That's a military thing, and that has to be done by governors and local government. It would be a national state of emergency with the Emergency Powers Act. But I want to read to you the National Terrorism Advisory System Bulletin from Department of Homeland Security and what they said last year. And let's see if anything from last year is still reflecting for 2024. So it says that the United States remains in a heightened threat environment. Lone offenders and small groups motivated by a range of ideological beliefs and personal grievances continue to pose a persistent and lethal threat to the homeland. Both domestic violent extremists and those associated with foreign terrorist organizations continue to attempt to motivate supporters to conduct attacks in the homeland, including through violent extremism messaging and online calls for violence. In the coming months, factors that could mobilize individuals to commit violence include their perceptions of the 2024 general election cycle. We would call that a clue. And legislative or judicial decisions pertaining to socio-political issues, I guess that would be called immigration, we'll call that one another clue. Likely targets of potential violence include the U.S. critical infrastructure, faith-based institutions, individuals or events associated with the LGBTQIA plus whatever, man, community, schools, racial and ethnic minorities, and government facilities and personnel, including law enforcement. They did not update this. This is from, I think, March or May. This is from, I think May of last year. They have not updated this since, even though we had stuff that happened in Israel and now Gaza. We've had an even bigger explosion at the border with very well-known members of international terrorism organizations crossing. We've had a spike and an increase of violent crime across almost every state and every city in America. And, you know, I mean, now there's this potential brush of war with Russia and the Middle East again, and they still have not updated this.
That's right.
So, you know, this what's sad is DHS is turning itself to become a political machine, just like the FBI and just like the DOJ. So instead of focusing on actual problems, actual statistical problems that we can put a number on, they're focusing on more of the political backlash. So, you know, as the future goes on, once we start to see these events really start to kick off, this is what I think we can expect this year, because this is how they laid it out. We can expect domestic violent extremists and those associated with foreign terrorist organizations conducting some sort of a attack on the homeland. Okay, who is that? It's probably not MAGA. So it's probably going to be Antifa again. It's probably going to be BLM again. It's probably going to be some sort of Middle Eastern or communist-based terror group.
I have another option for you too. False flag.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Antifa's That's not false flag. Antifa's out in front. What you see is what you get. But I'm talking real false flag and blame it on MAGA extremists as an excuse to crack down during the election season.
Yeah, I mean, once again, you cannot put anything past these people, man. You can't put anything past them. Let me see. I have this. I have an update here that may be pertinent.
You know who fits into this category on the fringe from this memo that you're mentioning? The New York City firefighters. They're moving them into that category.
So here, let's stay on that. Revolutionary Communist Announcement Party launch in New York. The Socialist Revolution announced the formation of their new political party, Revolutionary Communists of America, in New York City, saying that they are the U.S. section of the International Communist Tendency. I said this last year, that based off of what we're seeing with American politics and geopolitics, that there's a possibility that we'll have a third political party approach. All right. So not just the Green Party and not just independents, but an actual new party. And it's being formed also right now in California. Now it's being formed in New York City, that there is a communist party that is trying to rise itself out of the grassroots of America. And I think, you know, it once again, it to me, I go back to pre-World War II with Nazi Germany and the Reichstag fire. Now, we've said that January 6th was the Reichstag fire of America And I think that's still true. But I think they can pull another event like that off again. And I think they're going to try and connect a party like this as either a patsy of it or as something as a new introduction of players on the field for politics. What do you think about this?
Well, a novel political party that could have appeal to the masses who feel like they're not involved in the mainstream of America could draw people in like that. And I think that's everybody from illegal aliens to Gen Z, disassociated people from society, don't feel like they can be successful, live in a mom's basement. Those kind of extremist movements would appeal to groups like that. But I don't see where it benefits the Democrats. The Democrats need to split the vote of the Republican Party. And I think if they do what you're talking about here, they split the vote of the Democratic Party. So I think they need to find a way to swing some conservatives over to a third party to lessen Donald Trump's influence.
Yeah, but good luck on that one because Donald Trump is steamrolling everybody in his path. All right, let's move on to the next thing. So we have Colonel Douglas McGregor, retired colonel, who provided a nation with alternative view of the State of the Union. Now he's making a lot of headlines with this,
Sure is.
and it's all over X, formerly known as Twitter. He said, "I want to respectfully present an alternative view of the State of the Union." McGregor begins by explaining how the Constitution mandates that the government promote the general welfare. This obligates Washington to secure the basic necessities of life, such as energy, food, and shelter. He said, "Regrettably, the current administration is failing to perform these tasks." He said, "This outrageous share is similar to what was in the Soviet Union in the late 1980s before their collapse. Rampant inflation stemming from this government share of the economy makes it difficult for families to buy nutritious food. Our national security is compromised. Ill-conceived domestic policies have sparked widespread jobless and homelessness." He's not wrong. He's not wrong. He said that it's impossible to drain the swamp with unsound money and colossal debt that we cannot sustain. He also says, tragically, Washington, D.C., the D.C. Beltway politicians are controlled by the so-called donor class. This form of corruption is enabled by a cancerous central banking system. This ruling class orchestrates endless wars, enriching themselves and their cronies while sending our soldiers to serve in foreign lands of marginal strategic interest to the United States. I completely agree with that. He says this uncontrolled influx is straining our resources, overwhelming our communities, and destroying our prosperity. Reckless calls to defund and punish the police have crippled law enforcement. Officers are underfunded, undermanned, and unable to protect our citizens, making our cities unsafe for all, especially women, children, and the elderly. He goes on to say a lot more, but I mean, I think at this point in time, the fact that the Republican rebuttal to the State of the Union was so weak,
Yeah, it was.
and it was actually kind of embarrassing. I don't know why they
Doug,
picked a lady who's
it
a
was a
senator.
rhino response.
It
It was a
was.
rhino response.
It was. And the thing is the Republican Party is losing touch with its basis. Like we don't agree with the same things that these people agree with anymore. I mean, they get into politics to enrich themselves, and they put forth policies and laws that only hamper us. They only hurt us, the American citizens. So I think as we move forward and we keep assessing what's going on throughout this year politically, we need to understand that we have very few politicians that are actually on the side of we the people anymore. So, even if Trump does become president, I mean, how much of Congress is actually on his side, even on the Republican Party? They showed their true colors once already in January 6th.
Well,
They
yeah,
showed their
they
true
did.
colors.
They totally did. But there's another aspect to this too. I have tried to get this movement off the ground unsuccessfully, but it's called Toss Them All, as in tossthemall.com. And I want to see the defeat of 90% of the GOP candidates in the primary election by average people. And if people would band together as a group here in this country, all the conservatives, and said, we're voting out everybody except like Jim Jordan and the guys who we know that we can count on. Comer, I think, is a good choice. Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she's a bulldog, and I know you don't like her, but we're better off with her than without her in the face of these liberals. But I don't think there's 20 people in both houses that deserve to be returned to their seats who are running for election.
I
And
agree.
so we have to turn things over. And you said something earlier, it was an interesting comment, and it kind of slid by me, and that's kind of full circle. You talked about we don't want Trump to be Caesar when we were talking about his choice for VP. There is a Caesar component that just happened with Trump, and it has to do with money. Now, listen, Rona McDaniel, Romney, she's a Romney criminal. She sabotaged America First candidates in the midterm election. She caused six senators running for election not to be elected because she pulled funding, her and Mitch McConnell. So I'm glad she's gone. But you got the president's daughter now in charge of the RNC. Now, he will get money, and that's a good thing. But do we want that much power concentrated in one family?
No, the problem is that we do have oligarchs here in America.
That's
Russia's not
true.
the only one.
I know.
So, and these people, you can say whichever industrial complex that they belong to, they're the ones who are in charge of this country. They're the ones who actually secretly elect the presidents. We know this. So that's why a lot of people say, our vote doesn't count anymore. I mean, maybe people are right. Maybe our vote really doesn't count anymore. But still, there's something to why these politicians on both the right and the left are willing to go after Trump so hard, willing to go after the America First candidates so hard. And it's going to add to the eventuality of us looking like Haiti. That's what I think one of the eventualities of America.
Oh, you'll like this out of Arizona. This is kind of related to what you said. They're going after the America First candidates. The Attorney General of Arizona, who stole her election. Do you hear that, Chris Mayes? I'm saying you stole your election from Abe Amodei. But she has now announced secret grand jury proceedings with anonymity, which is illegal as hell, to investigate people who are saying that the election was stolen in 2020 and 2022 in Arizona. Can you believe that? They're going after people. That's people like me.
It's not illegal.
I'm in those crosshairs, Doug, that she's saying that she's going after. I publicly have challenged her. And they know who I am. And I'm not bragging. I just want to say this. On May the 12th of 2021, I wrote a five-part article, and I said these are the five ways I can prove that the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump in Arizona, particularly Maricopa County. Within 1 hour of me being on Paul Preston's show that morning talking about the article, there are 13 of my colleagues, Sarah Westall, Paul Preston. Paul Preston was told, you keep having Dave Hodges on your show to talk about election fraud, he's going to get you killed. That was the backlash then. And now we got an attorney general that wants to prosecute people for speaking out against the election. There's no difference there than what's happened with the New York City firefighters.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's probably more of these types of political assassinations going on right now, than we are actually, probably aware of. But I mean, the amount of foreign money that's coming in, and the amount of George Soros money that's coming in, that's trying to flip these diplomats that are trying to flip our politicians. It should have people very worried, Dave. I mean, we know that there are people in the government who listen to us, who listen to the intel
Oh,
report,
they do. I
because,
know that. Yeah.
yeah, and it's because we're no BS. We come after both sides equally. But, eventually, guys, for all you that listen to us, whose side are you going to end up on? Are you going to end up on the ones who fill your coffers? Or are you going to end up on the one who want to sustain a constitutional republic? Because the way we're going, we will no longer be a constitutional republic, probably within the next, I don't want to sound exaggerated, but within the next couple of years, we're not going to be a constitutional republic anymore. And people will disagree with me, and many probably actually have a very good argument for it. We may not even be a constitutional republic right now by the way we are running the government, by the way we're running politics.
My feeling is this, unless there's a dramatic turnaround, our constitutional republic is mortally wounded right now. We don't know going to, I mean, it's ending as we speak. We have no borders. You have no border, you don't have a nation. Okay, elections are stolen routinely. It's out in the open. Censorship is rampant. The Constitution is in disarray. We got oligarchs like Jamie Dimon calling for the seizure of private property in the name of climate change, which carries no scientific proof. So, Doug, I could go on. I could probably list 20 more things. I think the Constitutional Republic is over. Can we restore it? That's the question. I think we have lost. And right now, we're like America. This election is like America drowning, and we're going down for the third time. Will we survive? And will Donald Trump be able to bring us through? And then my feeling is, too, they won't let Donald Trump do it. They will kill him. They'll kill him in a mass casualty event to disguise the assassination.
I mean, once again, I think these people are so diabolical. They would not bat an eye of taking down the grid in order to cease an election. I think these people who set themselves up as little princes and princesses of America, they are so well off on their plan to flee America for a period of time of destabilization until the UN and other forces come in and quote, stabilize. That they'd be willing to do it as long as they kept their power, they kept their little mansions, they'd be willing to do it. These people have already sold us out. Why wouldn't they continue to sell us out? What, since when did any of these people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and others ever have an actual political matter that pertained to the American people positively? If so, it's only for one side of America, which is not the general population of America. They want to prop up a group of people who I believe will carry out their orders, and those orders are for terror. That's what they'll do with it.
Well, we are definitely establishing a brown shirt society for that purpose. There's no question. And I'm referencing Nazi Germany and enforcers. And I do think, I just did another thing on the Chinese troops that are coming into our country. The pictures and videos are undeniable. I got Border Patrol sources that tell me the details. Officers come in one group, enlisted men in another. And you can see it in the pictures. And the officers, they're 30s. And maybe even late 30s, but the other ones, the enlisted guys, you can tell they're 19 to about 25, and they're coming in segregated. They're going into Camp Pendleton. Paul Preston has all kinds of witnesses on this. He's going to start putting together documentation on this, video documentation. Dick Durbin is calling for the implementation of illegal aliens into our military, which would include these people. So we are being undermined from within. And we're headed for Kristallnacht on a mass scale. What I mean by that is that I think we're going to wake up one day, and all these embedded terrorists and all these embedded soldiers and so forth that are in our country are going to act en masse at one time, and this country will never be the same. That's my greatest fear.
Yeah, and to top it off, if we don't maintain some semblance of control, if we lose control, like we were talking about earlier, we're going to end up looking like Haiti. I have been to Haiti. I've done an operation in
Honey.
Haiti before. And Haiti was the scariest place I've ever been to in my life. It was Haiti. Haiti bothered me more to be in, it bothered me more to be in Port-au-Prince than it did for me to be in Fallujah and
That's
Ramadi.
amazing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it is a different kind of world in Haiti. And you know, currently, right now, you have the president of Haiti, who I believe is, I think he's fled the country. I know that some of their diplomats have fled the country. They flew to Kenya to try and get the United Nations and a member state, Kenya, to deploy a police force to come to Port-au-Prince to actually combat the gangs. There are so many gangs right now that are killing law enforcement officers, killing military, killing their people. They're setting fire to government offices, they're setting fire to police stations, and they've completely taken control. I mean, these guys have small arms and machetes, and you know, no one's there standing in the way. So it's a terror state right now.
Exactly.
And the U.S. military went in and they flew out everyone that was a non-essential personnel. Everyone got flown out by helicopters. So,
You were there with Gary Haven, our good friend Gary Haven,
yep.
founder of Curves, very successful individual, politically well connected. You're not giving yourself enough credit. I had Gary on my show. This is before I knew you, and I had Gary on my show many, many times to talk about Haiti and the risks he said that me and my crew were taking, which would have meant you. He said you talked about how you risked your lives to save people on the ground, to distribute food, and so forth. But every moment you were in proximity to a crowd, your life was in danger. And I wanted to
Yes.
make sure that's out there. And there was no police that could come and help you. No military was going to defend you. You guys were totally on your own, weren't you?
I'll give a story about that. So, we met with the president of Haiti. We had a ambassador with us that used to be the ambassador to Haiti that was there with us. And so, by the time boots were on the ground, this is after what was that, Hurricane Matthew had hit. I mean, a 30-foot tidal wave have hit the lower crescent of the island, the Hispaniola Island, in an area called Lakai. And so I'm there volunteering. And man, let me tell you, I went into the NATO forces and I was in a meeting there with them. And I was talking with our U.S. personnel and the British personnel there. And I explained who we were and what we're doing here. We're here to deliver food, medical aid, and doctors to Lakai. And they told me, listen, you go to Lakai, you're on your own. They were firing at our helicopters. They were firing, and these are Marines, by the way. They were firing at our vessels offshore. And I pulled everybody out because the last thing I need is our guys trying to kill these people. So the second day we were there, you had. A lot of people don't know this group, but you have the WHO, the World Health Organization, and then you have the WFO, the World Food Organization. So they had a convoy of trucks, I don't know, 7 or 8 trucks, like 18-wheeler style trucks, box trucks. And they had all types of medical supplies, fresh water, fresh food. And they're going to deliver it to the inhabitants of Lakai and along that area of the Crescent. And they got about 2 hours out of Port-au-Prince, starting to head down south, and they were ambushed by the people there. They cut trees down and stopped both the convoys. They killed a couple of the drivers for these for the food trucks, and they didn't have a military escort or even a law enforcement escort. So they went down there just purely humanitarian aid. These people didn't care. They hit them, they robbed them, they killed a few of them. And so we're getting these intelligence updates. I mean, I was working good 18-hour days when I was there. And when we eventually got to Lakai and we're doing these medical evacuations, we probably flew, oh, I don't know, 8 to 10 medical evacuations a day with multiple aircraft. And we were pushing so many people onto the aircraft that we were well overweight. So you're taking a huge risk just from there. But these people were very aggressive. The area of Port-au-Prince, they're very aggressive. There's gangs everywhere. We don't talk about this much, but there was possibly an attempt on Gary and our crew. I think the last day that I was there, right outside of
Gary
the
told me about
airport.
this. Yeah, I know that's true.
Yeah, I mean, there was 6 gang members that were shot and killed. One police sergeant was shot and killed, and it was right in the exact area where we go and we park our convoy at. So I had a detail of Haitian SWAT team guys that were with me, and they're not the same compared to our people. These guys, they're out there for like 40 gourd a day, which I think is like $5 a day, risking their lives. They carried inadequate equipment. And when I say inadequate, one guy showed up with 2 chrome 1911s, and he had like 6 bullets in each magazine, and then that was it. Another guy showed up with an old school M16A2. He had like maybe 2 or 3 magazines on him. Another guy showed up with a FAL, a FAL. So that was a 308 battle rifle from Africa. And the bolt on it, Dave, was so sealed shut through corrosion and the salt water in the air that I literally had to, it's called mortaring, but I had to almost break the rifle just to get it to go into action. And
Amazing.
that's the guys that we took with us. So, it
That's
was
amazing.
extraordinarily
Okay,
dangerous.
let me bring this home because we're going down memory lane for a reason here. Could it get that bad here?
I mean, if you think about it, I mean, hell, we had those conversations. We had those conversations amongst our own agents and officers. What would we do if the lights went out? What would we do if, X, Y, and Z happened and everyone just lost their minds and the city decided to turn into one big gang war zone because we're so outnumbered? People would only show up to work for a couple of days. And then from there, maybe we would be monitoring our cell phones, maybe we'd be monitoring our radios, and we would try to, predetermine what to do from there. But after that, after a couple of days, we're not coming in because we got to protect our people. We got to provide for our own families. So, expect law enforcement at the best to be active for a week. In smaller towns,
Katrina 3 days, remember that.
smaller towns, smaller cities, you may have law enforcement more active. I would expect posses and militias to come in to help beef up law enforcement and, probably be deputized. But from there, I mean, and that's all situational dictating, because not every police department and not every sheriff will do that. Not every county, not every city, and damn sure not every state will do that.
Yeah,
So
Democrats.
this is why it's so important that people stay prepared. Not just with training, but with their food, with their water, with their
Yeah.
medicine. Because overnight in Haiti, this started happening last year. It was literally a small war zone from, and I mean, I watched so many videos from Haiti. It was a small war zone to go to a grocery store, which is a market there, to go to the hospital, which turned into be just a big morgue. And then from there, just to get gas, it was a 4 or 5 hour wait, and people were killing each other at the gas pump,
Yeah.
robbing each other at the gas pump. Yeah, that's what happens in a
Venezuela.
worst case scenario.
Venezuela, and it could happen here. Train, prep, and pray is what you're saying. And we got to kind of move this to a conclusion because along the lines of train, prep, and pray, that folks, we could be facing a real Haiti here. A lot of people compare us to Venezuela, six one, half dozen the other. But Doug, you're doing a training to help people. So we have the prep and pray, okay? So you need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, tools. But you need training as well. Talk about your training course. We've got about 2 minutes.
So you can sign up for our training course at vindictasolutions.com. I suggest if you're not trained to try and come get some sort of training from somebody. If it's not us, seek out somebody else and be better prepared. It's better to be an asset than a liability for your family and for your community. And not only that, but it makes you a safer person too. And it makes you more aware, gives you more situational awareness, more tools in the toolbox. So you're only going to benefit by training, and you'll only raise to the standard of training that you've had. No one's Superman. No one's just going to come out of nowhere and seize the day. So you will always fall back on your training. That's why military and law enforcement train as much as we do, and guys still screw it up all the time. Professionals screw it up all the time. So for citizens to get trained, it's the most important thing right now, I think, in America.
When is your training?
So we have one coming up in March here in just a few days. People can still sign up. We just had two more people sign up today. So people can still sign up. People can still show up. You can pay on our website, or you can show up with cash and you can pay that way. That's fine too. But then we have a training course in April and then one coming back in May to ready-made resources. If you go to vindictasolutions.com and you go to the classes, courses section, you'll be able to see what's coming up. So, and we're going to have training every single month this year. So you'll be able to make something.
Yeah, we're reaching a crescendo. This is going to be a hot summer. You know what this reminds me of? 1968, and America turned against the Vietnam War because of the Tet Offensive, and we knew we were being lied to about winning the war. And the Democratic National Convention in Chicago became a boiler point for protesting. A lot of violence between the cops and the teenagers. Most of them were teenagers that didn't want to be drafted, and it got crazy. I think the potential right now this summer in 2024 is much more violent. than 1968.
I think people should do a review on the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, that happened in 1946. Do your
Okay.
own research, people.
Say that.
Battle of
Say that
Athens,
again. I want
1946.
to make a note on that. Battle of Athens.
Yep, 1946, where you had veterans who came against a corrupt sheriff who was stealing votes for his county and was also segregating and suppressing people of color as well. So, I mean, we're not far away from seeing something like that.
No, I agree. And the left would love this because they can't win anything close to a legitimate election. So they've got to throw so much poop up on the wall that they basically take away from what an election would be. And I do believe if they think they can't win, I'm one of those crazy people that thinks there won't be an election if they don't think they can win. Well, Doug, we're out of time. Good show. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got the training option in front of you. Don't forget about Noble Gold to save your assets at 877-646-5341. And we shall see all of you back here again. Doug, thanks so much.